Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside the Joe Aitken, here for another episode. Joe, happy summer. How are you?
You know what? I'm just so excited. It's kind of hard to wait for tonight's podcast because, you know, once we introduce our guest tonight and we talk about the subject, man, this is dear, near and dear to my heart. Man, I could be stone dead tired, but as soon as it comes time to talk about the ground and arboriculture, man, I just get all goofy and energetic. So I'm excited. How's things going out there for you, Corey?
Me too. Things are going well. I was in Utah last week. Everything was just buttoning up. It's blooming. And then this week here in the Front Range of Colorado, we got catalpas blooming, Russian olives blooming. It's a good time of year. And we're all really busy this time of year. And I know we're all really grateful that Nick and Sean, all the way from Vail, Colorado, are here on our podcast today to talk to us about soil. So, Nick and Sean, hello and welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hi. We're excited to be here.
Well, thank you for coming. And as we get started, and I know Joe and I are both chomping at the bit, and this is something we're all passionate about, would you guys please, Nick, start us off? Please let us know a little bit about who you are and the business that you're currently in.
All right. So I've been an arborist for over 20 years now. I started when I was really young, around 18. I've had a passion for climbing and doing tree work, and I've been a contract climber for many years. And I built up my business to be a more of a plant healthcare specialist and do contracting. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was at a conference and I heard Sean talk about soil, and I've always been really interested in soil, but I've always been such a tree guy, you know, an arborist, spending my time in the canopy of trees. I got into tree care when the pine beetle epidemic was huge. I sprayed trees out the yin yang, you know, to protect them from pine beetle, but I wanted to get in a more natural, more organic state when I started doing arboriculture. And so the first place to start with that is soil and making sure our plants and trees have proper soil, and, you know, especially urban care, but even to, you know, our mountain forestry, you know, the soil that connects our forests is unbelievable. And Sean's brought me along and taught me a lot, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to own a business called Ground Up with her, that we do soil work, we do arboriculture, but we specialize primarily in soil and making healthy soil for your plants, gardens, trees, and all that.
And Sean,
I'm excited. Corey, you're gonna have to hold me back, but all right, go ahead, Sean.
So I'll give you a little bit of background about myself. My name's Sean Bruckman, and I've always loved trees. I don't have the expertise that all of you guys have in trees. Nick flatters me by saying that I've taught him a lot, but I feel like I learn every single day from Nick. Just everything he talks about is all trees and all this really cool information. But I have a background in environmental science. I went to Michigan State University, and I was always really involved in organic gardening, and moved to Colorado to be a ski bum, of course, 12 years ago, and just never left. And through that, I just started getting more and more involved with the CSU Extension. I got my Master Gardener certification. I started getting really into compost, which is how I got into soil. I actually built and still operate a commercial compost facility out here in Vail. So that's my day job. And I got really into the soil microbiology, the soil food web. And that's when I met Nick, was when I was giving presentations. I started this compost tea business back in 2011. So that's, yeah. And that's when I met Nick, and I was doing these soil health presentations and trying to get all the local landscapers to just understand our soil, just to understand what's going on in there. And we tried to connect for several years. We would try to do presentations together. He'd try to get my product out to his clients. And then few years ago when he went out on his own, we decided to collaborate our forces and bring soil and trees together. And so now that's what we do at the Ground Up, as Nick mentioned, is we just really focus on just soil and trees. People always try to get us to do other things, but we try to just stay with what we're good at.
Yes.
Fantastic. Go green.
Go green.
Go white.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I wrote a lot down while you were talking about. I don't think people really truly understand soil. So if I was to ask you, what's the definition of soil? What would your definition be?
That is a good one. So my definition of soil, not dirt. Soil is living. It is alive, and it is good, healthy soil is a nutrient-rich medium that is full of microbiology and is a substrate that helps plant roots do all of the functions of life in the whole planet Earth. All of it is all connected to the life in the soil. We come from the soil and we return there, and that's really the ultimate closed loop regeneration system.
Yeah, you nailed every point that I was trying to think of and then some. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that's what's astonishing. That's why I think this conversation is going to be so riveting, is that I was an arborist probably about 40 years now. And I've stomped on more flowers and sod getting to the tree because I looked up my whole life. And it wasn't until I'm big into soil food web. I'm actually enrolled in their seminars right now.
Oh my God. We have another guy who's doing that for us too. He's going to be having a soil food web lab here.
Yes. I'm going to work for in the next year, having a lab.
Are you using Elaine Egoms?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going through it right now, but
yeah, she's great.
Watching the kids all day, it was kind of hard to keep going, but yeah, a lot of our listeners, if you don't understand what we're talking about, Dr. Elaine Ingram is kind of like the pioneer in soil food web and the life and biology that exists in living soils. And she has a great, great program where you can learn as much as you want for as long as you want by getting onto her website. So we'll throw a shout out for her because, yeah, that's I'm involved with.
Yes. Yeah.
I got a compost tea brewer, all the good things you're talking about. I've been bubbling.
You have the GOT brewer?
I have a micro brewer that's about 25 years old, and it's just amazing.
Hey, can you, Sean and Nick, can you talk a little bit about what compost tea is for some of our listeners?
Yeah, I'll give you a basic definition, and Sean can kind of get into it a little bit more. So compost tea, we use a GOT machine. And it's developed by a great guy. It's Greater Earth Organics. His name's Bob. He's out of Wisconsin. And what compost tea is it's not like a synthetic fertilizer, obviously, with an NPK. What compost tea is we take high worm-casting fungal compost, and we extract all the organisms off of them through active aeration. And that process pulls all the organisms, bacteria, fungi, protozoa, all that off of the compost. And then that makes what's called an extract. And the extract is great, it's beautiful, but we can actually use that extract and actually feed the microorganisms certain foods to help them start regenerating, start mating, start eating, kind of essentially eating each other, and actually turn them from a million microorganisms to billions. And in your soil, in a handful of soil, there's billions of microorganisms. And that's what we're trying to extract off of there into compost tea. And it turns into this big solution that we inject into the soil. And we're not giving it a nutrient base. We're just putting the live microbial organisms, essentially basic, the soil food web, in with your plants so they can have a symbiotic relationship with that soil. And when you feed a lot of plants, you know, synthetic fertilizers, like a lot of companies do and people do, you're really not helping the soil biology. What we're trying to focus on is soil biology that has been working with plants for millions and millions and millions of years. And with that process, you know, they'll actually uptake nutrients properly because the microorganisms, all that stuff, excrete those nutrients that plants in a natural state can uptake and be healthy.
Wow, that was thorough and well said. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so it's simply put, you extract all that great stuff that's in a pile of compost, you extract it into a solution, maybe a molasses base, something you can put in there to keep them alive, aerate them, get them just kicking around in there, and put them under your microscope. There he goes.
Yep.
Let's get it in the field.
Yeah, we're making the party for those microbes.
Yeah, just bubble them in the backyard. Blah, 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 blah. I used to love flicking the switch and getting the compost tea going, because one thing's amazing, Corey, I'm not sure if you ever got into compost tea, or the listeners, is that it's either aerobic or anaerobic. So you really know when things go south in a compost tea, because it's like sewer sludge. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't believe it, but when it's going great, it just smells like this amazing, sweet, earthy smell that you're applying to the surface of the earth to feed the biology in the soil.
Oh, it's amazing. When we're out there applying the tea, the bees and the butterflies and the birds and all of the, you know, life out there is alive. That's my favorite part, is being out there and just seeing how you're actually supporting the life in the natural environment. It's so cool. It's like they're all saying thank you.
Yeah. Joe, you said something really important, the anaerobic, mm-hmm. you know, it, compost tea, like a lot of people brew compost tea, but you got to be really careful with it. You got to be super sterile. It's like brewing beer. You know, if you do it wrong or you're not sterile, you're going to get bad bacteria. And so, you know, there's certain ways to brew compost tea effectively. It's hard to do in high batches, which we've kind of accomplished. But yeah, if you have an anaerobic batch, you're going to know it. And you're putting it into the soil. It's actually bad for the soil because you're getting the bad bacteria in there. But when we do, we're super sterile, super clean, you know, and we really make sure we have high-end aerobic product that's living to put into the soil.
We definitely follow Elaine Ingham's recommendations and her standards. The guy that we got the compost tea from, the GOT brewer, he worked under Elaine Ingham for many years to develop that brewer. So it's kind of cool how it all connects.
And the whole picture, the big picture, is that you guys are encouraging a more natural state and you're a more healthier soil profile, so that we can tie together this food web and the tree health and all that.
Exactly. And like plants, obviously, you know, I'm an arborist, and when I look at a tree, yes, sometimes trees need fertilizer. They need a synthetic thing to help them, give them a boost and different things. You know, I have an ArborGen system. We use that a lot. But, you know, really when it comes down to the health of plants, we all know it starts in the soil. And most people, even me as a young arborist, I always looked at plants as from the ground up. I never looked in the soil. And when someone calls me out to their house nowadays or their property, the first thing I do is I dig into the soil to see what's going on. And, you know, because most of the time it's a root issue, a soil issue that's causing the effect on your plants and your trees. So.
Oh, yeah. Sean, I'm going to have you try to explain to our listeners. You made a comment about a lot of guys just throw NPK. And we're not bashing that, because you're right. If you did a soil sample and you're low at some basic macro and micros, of course, let's get them in there. Let's get the tree on the rebound. But what's amazing is that what the biology actually does surrounding the roots by feeding on the exudates and the compound that it secretes that breaks down, you know what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just putting these biology in. They have a purpose, and that's why we're putting it in there. Mm-hmm. Explain a little bit about what that biology does around the root hairs.
This is my favorite topic. Oh my gosh, yes. So I love to just remind people about how we learned about photosynthesis back, you know, probably back in elementary school. We're learning about photosynthesis, about how the plants use the sun's energy to make sugar, and then that's how they grow. And they forgot to tell us that sugar, like you said, those exudates, that sugar they secrete into the soil. So the plant makes the sugar out of carbon and sunlight, and they take all that carbon energy and they put it down in the soil through the sugar they make, and that sugar feeds the microorganisms. And then by attracting those microorganisms are able to take naturally occurring nutrients in the soil and make it more available for the plants. So a lot of times we think, oh, our plants need this nutrients, or we get a soil test and we're low in available nutrients. And the reason that's not available is probably because you don't have the microorganisms in there making it available. There's so much nutrients out there. And especially when you get to fungus, is so cool. And that can go out and actually mine the nutrients out of the soil. I mean, the fungus can add miles of reach to the plant roots. It's incredible how much of a connection the soil can make by accessing and mining nutrients and minerals out of the soil just through its relationship with organisms in the soil.
So that's kind of where I wanted you to go with that, because you're like,
talk about cation exchange capacity.
Yeah, you know, is relying on, you know, not only the biology in the soil, but obviously the organic matter in the soil.
Yes.
So obviously there's two main factors in urban soil: compaction and low organic content. Mm-hmm. I could go on compost tea all night long, but let's switch gears and let's go to what you guys are doing on compaction. Obviously we know that soil compaction is one or the second leading issues that we have in urban soils. I know that with mulch and thyme, and you can get the insect population to be mining through the soil and break up compaction, but there's other ways. What do you guys do with compaction issues? Do you give it time, or do you use some of the tools that are available to us today?
Yeah, we do a combination. We like to use all the tools in the toolkit. And especially when it comes to like integrated pest management and stuff, you know, we want to use what's available before we have to get to the most extreme. So we try not to till if we don't have to, but you know, that's the last resort. We do a lot of incorporation of organic matter into the soil before we apply the tea. So we like to get the organic matter in the soil. We do a lot of root feeding as well to boost up the life in the soil. What else we got?
Pretty much the way I would answer that is there's a couple simple ways. Organisms create porous space in your soil. And so do all those things moving around, worms and everything. And if you have compaction in your soil, you know, those things are really having a lot of time and there's not a lot of oxygen there. So it's just like a river basin. Why do your rivers stay full in the summer at the end of the year? It's because the soil's holding water and your soil needs to become like a sponge. And so there's ways we could do that. We could do, you know, if it's super compacted soil, I use an old school method. I call it vertical mulching. Mm. You could drill down and backfill a pea gravel to allow air and different nutrients to get down in there. Mm-hmm. But really it's getting those organisms to start working in your soil, because they're really going to start creating the porous space. They're going to start attracting the things that are going to start moving through the soil and creating that sponge-like soil that we're looking for. And I'm a native of Colorado. Our soil here sucks. I mean, there's nothing else I could say.
Lots of clay.
So when we run into a lot of this, especially in the mountains, you know, we're trying to develop a soil around the plants that can actually work with our native soils and actually develop porous spaces in the soil.
And sometimes, a lot of times also, we use the right plant, right place.
Yeah.
You know, like make sure that we're planting something that can live in this environment, so we don't have to change too much about the soil, that it's actually something that wants to live where we're putting it. And Nick does a lot of consulting with clients of maybe gently nudging them of, maybe you don't want to put that tree there. Maybe you could consider these other trees that like to grow here.
Everybody in Colorado wants a Colorado blue spruce and aspens, especially in the mountain area. Regions and
really, we got that here in Michigan, and Colorado blue spruces are struggling in Michigan. Yeah. I think we've talked in a previous podcast about that, Corey.
Yeah, we did. You guys did. But it's just like, you know, you can plant a spruce in the proper place, but if there needs to be a pinyon pine there or a juniper or something that's more native in those areas, that's what we're trying to coax people doing. And a lot of people plant like aspens, you know, and aspens I call job security because they're a grove tree. But Sean's hitting it, like planting right trees for your soil increases what's going on in that native soil around you. It's already got a relationship with those plants, essentially. They're already used to that fungi and different things. So it's
a lot easier for them. I love it. I love the tone. Corey and I came up with a holistic, realistic approach. Mm-hmm. You know, we had mentioned a few times natural, organic, holistic, but sometimes we thought holistic was sounding a little too, and I'm not trying not to be just like hippie-ish, you know. So we came up with holistic, realistic, or realistic, like holistic.
Yeah.
We're and trying comprehensive.
Yeah.
Comprehensive, because it's all related. And hearing what Sean and Nick are talking about, we continue to tie this picture together for folks where these tree species, these plant species have adapted over thousands and thousands of years to grow in a particular soil type and substrate. And we take them out of their home or out of a nursery, we plant them here. But I'd be curious if what kind of advice you guys would have for some of the small business owners and some people that are looking to learn a little bit more about soil and the food web and the microbes. What advice do you have for them? Where can they go? How can they learn more?
Well, they can go to our website.
Great start.
we're still building.
We are, but it's a little challenging. T4Soil, T4Soil.com. And then we're always putting stuff on our Facebook as well, The Ground Up. But, you know, I think Joe really hit on something important in the beginning. Elaine Ingham, she's the mother of Soil Food Web, and she has so much great information. And that's the foundation of what we're built on is the Soil Food Web. So that's a really great.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to start, Corey, that's a great question. Elaine has a book, Teeming with Microbes.
It's a great book
to get started with. And I'll make sure that I said a lot of you guys don't know.
So Jeff Lowenfeld, he wrote that series based off of what Elaine was saying too. Jeff Lowenfeld is another great resource. And so Teeming with Microbes was the first one. Then he did Teeming with Nutrients, then Teeming with Fungi. So
I haven't seen those two yet. I got to get caught up.
For people who don't want to go that in depth, like this is kind of a more basic way. Patagonia put out a really cool couple series lately. Mm-hmm. Patagonia Films, and I know this, like for some people it's just easy, but Treeline by Patagonia really explains, you know, how forests and fungi and the soil works and how
You're talking Patagonia and the clothing guy?
They made a documentary.
It's so good. Great. Mm-hmm. And I recommend it to most people. I recommend my arborist to watch because it talks about how the forest is interconnected and how sugars are shared through fungi and how, like, you know, I'm a forester. I've done urban forestry. I've done forestry. And really, you know, how plants share sugars and stuff through mycorrhizae and different fungi.
And information. Yeah. Not just food. They share information. So cool.
Okay. You have to share that link with us. We'll post it. I haven't seen it. I'm kind of excited about it.
Which is really great. And they're just beautiful movies to watch. They actually talk about my favorite tree, which is a bristlecone pine. Corey, don't say anything. That's my email. That's my tree name, Bristlecone, because I love him so much. But they do a really good job on a basic level explaining how important the interconnections in the soil is between trees and then the forest. And it goes past the forest because in an urban setting, in a city, you know, trees will share sugar and stuff through the soil, through fungi, mycorrhizae. You know, conifers sometimes will send sugar to deciduous plants to help defoliate. They'll return the sugar back to the conifers in the fall. And that's just basic, you know. But sugar and information is shared through almost like a neurological cell, like your brain is, through the soil. And, you know, I see a lot of arborists driving equipment through the soil, logging and stuff, or log. And what bugs me the most, it's not the logging, is they're disrupting all the fungi and stuff in the soil that's going to allow other things to grow and develop in. But the Patagonia films do a really good job of explaining it in a very basic way. And
are you saying like builds, like B-U-L?
Films.
Film.
Film.
Like a documentary, yeah.
Another documentary
that's good is Kiss the Ground.
Yes.
That's really hot right now. Everybody's watching it. It's called Kiss the Ground, and they actually feature our GOT Compost Tea Brewer in there. So.
Yep. All right. I got one more topic. I know we're going to be wrapping up soon, but I wanted to get in. You know, we talk about the low organic matter and how important organic matter is in the soil to kickstart the CEC. That's a cation exchange capacity. So if they can't, what are you guys doing to boost organic matter in urban soils? Now you talked about, you know, obviously with mulch and making sure it's just not green wood chips, composted mulch. So, but if you can't, today's society, nobody wants to mulch right up against a tree. They want grass. What are you guys doing? What can we add? What can we do to get the organic matter up in the soils?
Well, I'll say one thing real quick, you know, before Sean, because she's great with all that. But, you know, like if I plant a tree in urban, like using natural soil, but also mix in really good compost and stuff like that. And even top dressing with the compost before the mulch, not like a thick layer, but enough that it's actually getting organisms and starting to feed that soil biology in there under that mulch. Yes, mulch is key to a lot of that because weed eater beetle and lawnmower beetle kill more trees in the urban forest than most things. So, you know, but really when it comes to the exchange, the cation exchange, I'll let her talk about that. But really it's a blend of when you're planting trees and dealing with trees, letting them adapt to native soil, but giving them a little bit of those, you know, good compost and organisms that get down in there to help them, you know, adapt.
I kind of recreate the forest floor form where they were supposed to be.
Yes.
And I would just add, I think that was the perfect answer. I would just add that you had mentioned, Joe, that people, you know, like to have their grass right up to the base of the tree, or they like to have certain things. They want pretty, clean soil.
Yeah, rocks and
Yeah. So I think the real thing that we can all do as professionals in our field is just re-educate and try to change the culture. You know, like what's beautiful to you? Why does that have to be beauty? Why does the wrong thing have to be beauty? Can't we just talk about what's better for the plants and change our perception of what is a beautiful landscape? I know it's challenging, but we live in Vail, Colorado, and we're trying it here in one of the most beautiful places in the world, I think. And so it's been pretty successful. We have a lot of communities here who are starting to call us because they'll have us do compost tea on just a couple of their trees that are really, really suffering. And we do root injections on the compost on the trees. And they call us back the next year and say, oh, we need you to do all the trees actually, because that worked really well. So yeah. We kind of do a test by, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
Well said. Yeah. It's education. I remember before I worked where I work now, I had my compost tree brewer, and this is 20, 25 years ago. I've had people complain to me that their plants were growing too fast now. Yeah. Because, you know what, one of the biggest things that I like to teach is that if you put mulch down around a landscape and it's there 4 years later, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a crust on the top. You got dog vomit fungus on the top. It's not breaking down. So then you add compost tea to that mulch. And it's amazing if you've never played around with it, it's amazing that once you apply that biology, even top dressing over, spray it on top of the mulch, how fast that mulch starts to get to degenerate and break down and be added to the soil. So
I will say one thing on that, if I have a quick second, is, you know, you kind of hit it. People want, you know, people fertilize their trees with synthetics, and it forces them to grow really fast. And if you plant a tree, the last thing you want to do is be forcing it to grow, you know? And as an arborist, when I plant a tree, I'm thinking about root establishment. I'm trying to think about establishing that soil before I start trying to force that tree to, you know, with a fertilizer to grow, because if it's putting all of its energy into meristematic growth, we have an you know, it's not putting it into a ton of root development, root establishment. And we want the root establishment first before the growth.
I remember seeing a new study that recently came out about that. And I forget, I might be wrong, but it was Dan Herms. It was like a 25-year-old study about fertilizing trees regularly that it came such top heavy that the trees were failing because the root structure wasn't strong enough to hold it up again.
Yeah. And they form a dependency on those fertilizers. And that's not what we want. We want it doing what nature's taught a plant and a tree to do for millions of years. And so what we're trying to do is get away from that. You know, obviously the great example is the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, it's because of these synthetic fertilizers. And it, using more natural approaches, you know, we're trying to, if we can develop that relationship with the soil, you're going to have a healthy tree. It's not going to be forced to grow. It's going to do what it wants. And then it's going to be more vigorous, more resistant to insects, disease, fungi, because it's actually developing like it's designed to do over millions of years, besides us force feeding it something to grow.
Nice.
Well, thank you guys so much for taking your time. We could talk for hours on this, every single one of us, and go down every avenue. So thank you so much. We'll likely have you on for another future episode. Sean and Nick, thank you so much for your time, and really what a blessing that you've given to all of us.
Thank you so much. It was such an honor to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate it and listen to the podcast a lot and just super stoked we were on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are amazing. Keep up the great work out there.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for all you guys do, though, in the industry. As an arborist, I understand what you guys do, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.